10 o'clock hour, Bildy and Tausch begins now. Let's get back to your calls on the Carbless Talking text line. This is more. I know Jack in Wichita. He's proud of his town. Isn't that the town they're in with the cab driver, Wichita?
Could be, yeah.
I think so.
You know, that's a damn rare thing these days.
Have you watched the John Candy documentary yet on Prime? That's on my to-do list. I really want to watch that. As a huge
Landman is kind of where I'm at.
I've heard that, but only on airplanes. It's funny that you
watched any of the new ones.
A show called Landman when you're in the air.
That is ironic.
Don't you think?
That's funny, and it's true.
It's funny now. Not as funny as the game room and clowns. All right, let's get to your calls. Carbless Talking Text Line is 844-770-3776. Let's go to Jack in Wichita. Jack, thanks for holding on so long, buddy. I'm going to try and be more expeditious. I apologize. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks for holding on. What do you got? The floor is yours.
Yeah. Thank you. So when we play objectively inferior opponents, like, does it just seem like our whole team collapses? Like, that's kind of the point I'm trying to make with Matt LaFleur, I guess. Like, I've always been a Matt LaFleur truther. I've always thought he's gotten too much hate in our fan base. But now I'm starting to see where they're coming from, to be completely honest. I don't know if this guy is going to be able to call games that we can actively win. Like the last caller said, it seems like he's actively play calling to just lose or tie these games, or because he's scared or overthinking. And I am just curious, like the missed opportunities, the missed field goal. Like, did any Packers fan in the world think that field goal was going to go in? I didn't. And it felt the same way during the Browns game. And the Bryce Young fumble going right into Chuba Hubbard's hands, and then Chuba getting a 6-yard gain out of it. Like, that stuff always just seems to happen when it just seems like a total team collapse every time we play games like this. We play down to our opponents, and I don't know if that's a Matt LaFleur thing. I don't know if that's a locker room thing. I don't know what it is, but I just think it needs to change, and I would love to hear your guys' take on it.
Great call, Jack. I guess my question is this, Tausch. What if you, because I've got the YouTube commenters in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments, we're talking about, I have not asked LaFleur for a one-on-one this season. I try to limit those. I don't need them regularly. I feel like I can ask questions in the press conferences I'm at. But what do we want from Matt LaFleur? What are we not getting from him that we feel like we should be getting from him? Like, is he not aggressive enough? Is he too aggressive? Is he playing scared? What is he? What frustrates us?
I think the biggest frustration that fans have is that they feel like Matt LaFleur doesn't have his teams ready on a consistent basis to beat teams that we should beat pretty handily. When I look at when we play Detroit or when we play Minnesota, we have been, I think, right there. And if you lose some of those games, I think you can understand it. It was the loss to the Bears last year. It was this loss yesterday. It's losing games to teams that you feel like you're a lot better than, or playing them tighter than you need to or that you want to. And part of it is, I think, we just always assume that we're that much better because we're favored, because we shouldn't lose home games. I'm a big believer in that. Had this happened in Charlotte yesterday, I would be a lot more forgiving of Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers, just because it is a lot more difficult to win on the road. But that is the biggest concern I think the Packer fans have, along with the not making smart decisions in the big
critical moments. Yep.
That, I believe, it's more in line, because I don't think there's any Packer fans that think he's not a smart offensive mind, that he hasn't rejuvenated our offense from where it was on that lonely, cold, windy, blustery day when Mike McCarthy lost his job. That I think everybody is on board with, but I think the other part of it is, and this sounds crazy, but I see a lot of commentary on his manicured face and fingers and, you know, his hair and his mustache. And I think people equate that with him being soft. I think people think Matt LaFleur is soft. I disagree. I don't think our team plays soft. I think we're physical. I think bringing Cooper and Quay Walker in that defense, I don't think we're a soft team, but I do think there is a portion of Packer fans that feel like Matt LaFleur leads a soft football team. And I don't know if yesterday's a great example of that, but that's how I feel people look at it.
There was a point from Dennis in one of I'm trying to toggle between the two about the idea of where is the player responsibility on this conversation. Like, if you draw a bubble screen and a guy doesn't block the guy he's supposed to block effectively, and Savion Williams gets hit and fumbles, is that a bad call or is that bad execution? You're the one who played in the league for 11 years. How much
bad
of
execution.
It? Right, so is there, there's responsibility there too, right? It's not a bad call on its face.
You know this, but you know you went back to that play and it worked the second time. So yes, there's coaches need to put players in positions to succeed. If you have a guy that can't block on the perimeter, you don't put him out there. And
sure.
I think it was Heath who is their best blocking wide receiver outside of Christian Watson, in my opinion. Then maybe you don't put him out there. And if you make a mistake, typically what happens is you get pulled. You get Bull Ryan'd, you know, if you don't do it. So there's give and take, but it's a heck of a lot easier to complain about the coach unless it's the same player doing something over and over again. And I don't think this is a coach. This is a combination of everything. And I just thought yesterday we, for whatever reason, never found rhythm. Coach's job is to get their players into rhythm and let them go do their thing. That never really happened on a consistent basis yesterday.
844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talking text line. God, we're all over the map here. Sacramento, Green Bay, Sheboygan, Madison, Cedarburg, Muskego, Oak Creek, Minnesota, Los Angeles. We got a lot of calls to get to. Let's start in Sacramento with Mike. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. What do you got?
Good morning. Well, a lot of the points I was going to make, I think we've already talked quite a bit about this morning. Let me try and come at this from a little bit, maybe at a different angle. Certainly on LaFleur, you know, I agree with a lot of the comments about his in-game management in critical situations, and it hasn't been great, to say the least, and yesterday might be the worst example of it. So I do think there's a danger now that the season, it's like we're at an inflection point now, and there's a danger that the season could spiral out of control. And we're going to see what kind of coaching job LaFleur can do now. You lost Tucker Graft. You got other injuries in the receiver core. And I think maybe Goody, taking a little different angle here, maybe needs to help out his coach. I think the two biggest issues they need to focus on is solving the instability on the offensive line and helping the interior rush defense. I agree with Ricardo. I think they could really use a defensive tackle, and there might be a good one available in Quinnen Williams from the Jets. But on the offensive line, boy, Goody's off-season plan. And, you know, I wonder how much of LaFleur was involved in this decision to move Jenkins to center. I never thought that was a good idea. You want to replace Josh Myers, go get another center and leave your all-pro guard at left guard. And the Aaron Banks signing has been a fail. And I would just put him on the bench because you cannot solve the instability on the offensive line with him constantly in and out of the lineup. And he just can't stay healthy. And maybe he needs to go on IR until he is healthy. And so we've got a game against Philly. And, you know, maybe they beat Philly, but then they go on the road to play the Giants. Are we going to see the same sort of thing losing to an inferior opponent on the road. And then you got the Vikings who beat Detroit, and then you got to play Detroit on Thanksgiving. So this loss to Carolina really hurts in that regard.
Yeah. Good call. The question you asked there, Mike, really fascinates me, though, because I don't know, and again, Tausch, are they playing down to the level of their opponents, or are they just not as good as we think they are? That was the question I was wondering as I walked out from the press box on my way to LaFleur's presser yesterday. And I don't know the answer to that. I still refuse to believe they were as bad as they were yesterday. I just didn't see that. But their execution was poor. Their coaching was poor. The decision-making was poor. They played like a not very good football team, and that's why they lost as a 13.5 point favorite.
Yes, but I think you always, like we talk about when we evaluate young football players, I do the same thing with ceilings on football teams. And when we've seen this team play at its best, I don't know of a team that's better than this group. But unfortunately, you have to do that consistently. And the most consistent teams that know what they're about are the teams that usually are in that Final Four chasing a championship. And right now, I'm not 100% sure I know what Green Bay is about. Like, what are we about? Do we want to be a running football team? Do we want to be a Jordan-led throwing the ball football team? I know we want to be a hunt the passer, you know, get after people up front with the additions with Rashawn and with, you know, with Parsons. But that wasn't the case yesterday. Why? So I still believe that this is a good football team. I think the loss of Tucker Kraft is going to be a huge hurdle to overcome. I don't know. That to me, out of everything yesterday, is the biggest blow, because you're going to have games in this league where it doesn't go right. The great teams find a way to win a game like that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Good teams sometimes don't. And what I've been saying all year is this is a good team that can play great, but it's also a good team that when they don't play good, they get beat. And that's welcome to the NFL in 2025. That's almost every team that we talk about. That's where they're at. So that's why positioning and getting yourself in a spot where you can kind of dictate who you play and where you play them is going to be as important as anything, because I think at this point, unless things change, I don't think a team's going to go on the road and win three games. This team will not. This Green Bay Packer team will not win three road playoff games unless they make some great jump that I don't know about. But do I think they can win a couple of home games in the playoffs? I do. But yesterday's not a good example of me saying that.
Yeah, we need you to tell us about American Family Insurance. I would just add this. If they find a way to win that game, this entire show is about how devastating losing Tucker Kraft is today.
Yes.
And how do they move forward? And the fact that they also lost the game, in addition to losing him, we are focused on all that. But make no mistake about it, I think everyone understands how devastating that loss is.
Yeah, I think everybody does. And then the question is Goody going to do anything about going out and getting anybody, or is this going to be the Musgrave show? I'm leaning towards it'll be the Musgrave show. But there is a couple of days left in the trade deadline, and you need to insure carefully when it comes to that. And you know what? Life is better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. That's because when you feel protected, you're free to enjoy your dreams, from decorating a new nursery to hosting a family reunion in your backyard. So insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. And I got good news. Sarah and I are campaigning with the American Family Children's Hospital the holidays. We are loading that up again. It starts today. We go through December 31st. We need to raise $50,000 for American Family to double that, get it all the way to $100,000. We're going to continue to pound on that because it is important in our community to continue to support the American Family Children's Hospital like American Family Insurance has. So we'll be sending out a tweet here shortly to get that thing rolling again. We got the holiday season. We know you're getting pulled in a lot of ways. We appreciate everybody supporting us last year, and we will look forward to that again this year.
More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Get back to your calls on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. This is more calls, starting with Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning. They're definitely not trading Romeo Doubs at the trade deadline now. How you doing?
No. Yeah, the doing well. I think the Tucker Kraft injury definitely solidified that. Yeah, just kind of a few quick hitters in the game, and then I kind of a question to leave you guys with. For me, I think the biggest takeaway of the game outside of losing Tucker Kraft, which is number one, is that as holistically, have we improved as a team with the Micah Parsons? Obviously, he has had a phenomenal impact, but I feel like you make this trade to completely elevate yourself and kind of be in that tier where the Vikings and the Lions last year were like a, you know, a 3-4 loss team. And I know he didn't have the biggest impact yesterday. Again, he has been phenomenal, but I think we still have the same floor, and that's losing to abysmal teams. And, you know, we've had historically two massive losses this year when you factor in Cleveland, right? And now Carolina.
Only two losses of the year.
Yeah, the only two losses, and a tie in there. But, yeah, and that's amazing how we just kind of played on to our opponents. The other thing I kind of want to get into is, like, the floor is all gas, no break mantra. And to me, I think that could be addended a little bit. I think all gas, no break can mean also taking advantage of the opportunities that you have. And, again, I look at that fourth down situation there, or, you know, just kind of a red zone offense and on these shortcomings. And, again, I think if you're putting up points every drive, and if the drive calls for a field goal, taking the field goal, but constantly putting pressure on them and having the other team's defense know that, you're getting something out. You're going to move the ball every single drive. They might not finish with a touchdown, but you're going to put yourself in position to get points every single drive. And when we pass up those opportunities, I think bad things happen. And I guess one of the questions is for anybody on the panel, and it's easy to, you know, armchair quarterback, Monday morning quarterback or whatever, the next day, but did anybody agree with that 4th-and-8 decision at the time? You're down
no.
Tucker Kraft. And it's like, with 12 minutes left, again, I don't know what the analytics say, but again, if you take 3 points there, now you're telling your defense, even if you give up a field goal, we're in this. But now go give us the ball back and give us an opportunity, because we will get the ball back. There's 12 minutes left, and let us finish this and let us win the game. I don't know if that's an indictment on a lack of trust against McManus after he missed the kick earlier in the game. I think if that's the situation, you got to get rid of him, that they wouldn't kick another field goal in that position there. But, and Jason, I think you use this line a lot of times too when you kind of talk about like having a thumb on the scale. I think at times, everyone on this team seems to be overconfident in the wrong moments. It might be Rashid Walker after a couple of great games to start the year drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, we're going to go undefeated. It might be Jordan Love on a bit of a hot streak last week and throwing a good, well, not necessarily good, but a jump ball to Watson that he caught, and then saying, you know what, I'm going to throw this into triple coverage. And it seemed to be with LaFleur, and I don't know where this comes from, when you're failing to put the ball in the end zone the entire game, and your play on 3rd and 3 gets blown up, and then your response is, you know what, well, that failed, but on 4th and 8, we're going to get it. Even though we haven't gotten it at all today, it's on 4th down situation. So I don't know where it needs to come from, but I like that analogy you use of having a thumb on the scale. And it seems like when things get going one way, they have too much confidence in the wrong departments, and it's unwarranted.
So
I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but...
Yeah, that's a – all right. So a couple things, Eric, that I like from this call. First of all, again, kind of like the Tucker Kraft injury that we haven't spent a whole lot of time on that we normally would have, the kicking situation. Tausch, I would ask you this. Is having Lucas Havrasek causing a player, and I'm not saying that this is or isn't the case, I don't know, but is it creating an insecurity or a self-doubt or whatever it is in your existing kicker that you gave a $15 million contract to? Is it, and or is that, if I'm even asking that, is he the wrong guy if that's, if he's that fragile that it's affecting his performance? I don't know the answer. I am literally
flummoxed. You do know the answer. You don't ask. You do know the answer. You don't ask the question.
Well, I'm curious if it's possible that that's the case. I don't know that that's the case.
Why do you ask the question then?
Because no one else carries two kickers on their 53 other than the Packers.
Nobody else has a guy. Yes, they do. No. Yes, they do.
No,
other teams do.
No, they don't.
They have. Never in the history of the NFL has anybody had two kickers.
Right,
come on.
No, there is no other team in the league right now with two kickers on their 53.
There's guys on practice squad that can be elevated the day of. So we all know the Haversick deal. He came in. He's done a great job. The guy got hurt. Nobody had any questions about McManus. He got hurt. Did he rush back early? I don't know. It feels like he did. He has not been the same guy since he had a quad injury that – Matt LaFleur said, I remember on this show, I think it was, what was the word he used? Troublesome?
Concern, a major concern.
Concerning.
Then we had the thesaurus discussion, etc.
So if you don't feel confident, put him on IR for 4 weeks and let Haversick kick. And then when McManus is back, you let him kick. And if you want to get rid of Haversick, but I'm not interested. If this is what is sending him into a tailspin, he's not the guy. McManus has been around a long time. He's kicked in Super Bowls. He's made a ton of big kicks. He was awesome last year. I don't think he's fully healthy. And I think he's battled back because he sees that this young fella's playing really good. He kicked really good. And now that position has went from being a big-time strength to what are we doing here?
Right.
And that's a problem. So if he's not healthy, which I don't know, that's up to you guys. That's up to the training staff and him.
If he's not if he's not healthy enough to be kicking, and he's kicking anyway, doesn't that not make you wonder if he's forcing himself to kick because he's worried about his job security? Because if you are truly confident, you shouldn't be out there.
He's missing kicks. Put him on a short-term IR and let Haversick kick. But this whole concept, nobody has two kickers. You don't want to have two kickers. I get it, but it's not the first time it's ever happened. It won't be the last. And if that is what's sending him into a tailspin, we're not where we want to be.
He's now kicked in two games with his leg not clearly fully healed. He described it yesterday to Dominique Yates of the Journal Sentinel, who got him one-on-one yesterday after the game, that he's kicked like poopy. He didn't use poopy. So if he's kicking that way, if you would have put him on IR to begin with, he would have not done anything to further damage it, and now we'd be at the end of the four-game IR stint. Had they chosen to do that, they did not. They're allowing him to kick. He has now missed three kicks in the last two games. And you went for it on 4th and 8. Now, I don't know if that factored into Matt LaFleur's thinking or not. He did not indicate that it did. He thought they could get it. I think he was probably more, let's go get a touchdown, I believe in this play, than he was, we might miss the kick. I don't think that's why he chose to go for it and made that bad decision.
I agree with that. Because he was afraid he was going to miss.
But again, you've created what one of the problems that you should have with this team as a fan is, now, the things that they're supposed to be good at are also an issue, right? They're supposed to be good against stopping the run. They didn't do that. They got a kicker who missed one kick all regular season after they added him in October. Now he's missed three kicks in two games this year. Like, the things you could count on, you can't count on those either. That's why it feels like they're worse than a five. By the way, they are still in first place in the division. 5-2-1 is the best winning percentage in the NFC North. They are fourth in the pecking order in the conference, but they would win the division if it ended today. They would have a home game.
You remember when Tom Waddle and our Boldathon said that they'd go 8-0, and then they start off 2-0 against what most of us thought was the hardest part of their schedule? And since they're 2-0, you do the math. What is that? They're 3-2. I don't know what the math is on it.
3-2-1.
That's fun.
Yeah,
contact.
It's been – so I just think you look at this and you say this team has not improved – and has not gained the consistency that you're looking for, but you still have more than half of the season left. So I'm not in panic city mode. The Tucker Kraft injury has paused my thoughts on how great this team could be, because anytime you take one of your great players off for the season and you don't know who you replace it with him with, your production's going to go down. This is not... You know, people could say, well, in 2010, well, there was a lot of guys that were, you know, injured on that season, but none of them were Jordy, Aaron, Charles. Like, there were – you still had your main guys that you needed that could go out and execute.
Agreed.
Tucker Kraft is a – that is a big blow to what this offense is. And I think a big reason why we only threw up 13 points yesterday.
All right, let's get to another call on the Carbless Talk and Text line before we get another break in. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Let's go to Ron in Sheboygan. Ron, thanks for waiting so long. We appreciate it. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I generally don't listen to post-game shows or overreaction Monday shows because fans are going to fan. And I get that. And I'm not here to tell you how to fan. But... Jason, thank you. This is the first time it was mentioned in your show. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Packers are still in first place in the NFC North, which is supposed to be the toughest division in football.
Indeed. Right? Doesn't feel like it today, but yes.
We want to fire the head coach because he sucks. Right? this is exasperating for me. Goody didn't do his job. Fire him. Jordan Love isn't trustworthy. Let's replace him. I mean, I've heard some of that today. That's why I don't listen to these shows. But I will tell you this. You guys, I want to compliment you guys because you guys hit on some things that most talking heads, and I don't mean that the sound is a pejorative, but most analysts don't get. And you guys got it. The protection calls are what lost that game yesterday from the center position. That's what lost that game yesterday. Jordan Love was under pressure probably 50% of the time. That's a problem. And this experiment isn't working. So congratulations to you guys for picking that up. And the other thing is when Tausch said this narrative that Matt LaFleur is somehow soft that has taken hold is crazy to me. Who is the one that hit harder and put guys out of the game yesterday because of their hard hits? It wasn't the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, usually you take a look and say, well, the coach is soft. That's, you know, the team takes on the personality of his coach. Well, If the team generally has taken on the personality of the coach, the last thing, there's no evidence to say that he's soft. Now, last thing, thank you for taking my call, by the way, is we are wringing our hands and clutching our pearls over what's taken place this season. We've lost two games because of missed kicks. If you really want to boil it down, we've lost two games because our field goal kicker missed a kick. We're trying to compare Jordan Love in his third year to Aaron Rodgers, who won four MVPs. In 2010, Aaron Rodgers had 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. He went on to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We talk about boneheaded plays by our quarterback. Well, I remember the 2010 NFC Championship game inside the red zone, and Aaron Rodgers threw the ball right to Brian Urlacher.
Yeah. His best play was the tackle he made.
Exactly, because if he doesn't make that tackle, they don't win that game. So let's compare apples to apples, and let's compare Aaron Rodgers in his third season and Jordan Love in his third season, because Aaron Rodgers made a lot of boneheaded mistakes. Aaron Rodgers didn't become Aaron Rodgers until the divisional game against Atlanta. That's where his career really took off. His first 3 years, he was above average, slightly above average. That was it. It wasn't until that Atlanta game where everything took off. So let's tap the brakes here on firing a head coach who's leading the number one team in the NFC North. And would you rather be the Green Bay Packers or the Detroit Lions, who just lost to a quarterback who played in like his sixth game in the NFL at home? You were like the odds-on favorite to win in the NFC, and you just took it on the chin and were behind all game. You never had a lead in that game. You want Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, or do you want Matt LaFleur, who's wins two out of every three games, and Jordan Love, who is on his way, by the way. He's making throws that very few people in the world can make. So just tap the brakes a little bit. I don't want to tell you how to fan, but just be careful, because you're really only two seasons away from being the Wisconsin Badgers if you make calls like firing your coach and your general manager where you were in first place. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks for the call, Ron. We appreciate you. There's a lot there.
Sounds like he wants to tell people how to fan.
He gave his opinion on how he is fanning right now. But we, I am curious to see if we were to take calls again tomorrow, if the, you know, kind of the 24-hour rule applies, and maybe we dial back a little bit the frustration with LaFleur or whatever. Because it is, look, you lose as a 13.5 point favorite, people are going to be pissed. Because that's no one envisioned that happening. I could have envisioned yesterday, I said this on Green Bay Game Day pregame, I could envision them not living up to my proclamation that if you are the team you think you are, you go out there and you win 38-10. And you with your acronym about go out and be a pro. Like, I could see them winning 27-17, and we come out of that game going, boy, that wasn't very impressive at all. Like, these guys aren't very good. They didn't play at a very high level. I did not envision them losing. I did not see that coming. So I understand why people are pissed. But, again, to me, the biggest thing, besides the fact that you lost the game, is how are you going to redesign your offense now to be able to be effective without Tucker Kraft? And how are you going to get all these other guys involved that we're talking about, hey, we want to spread it around? Well, you're going to be spreading it around a bunch of guys, wide receiver, and a Luke Musgrave, and John Fitzpatrick, and maybe you could have used Chipotle Ben after all. We'll get to more of your calls on the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776. Speaking of phone numbers, there's only one call to make if you've been injured in an accident, and that is to Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Hopefully you never have to make that call, but if you do, know the number, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We're a break behind, so we're going to take one call here, and it's killing me because Jesse just informed me in the break that for the Barry Alvarez show at Hard Rock Casino Rockford, he is Ubering Coach and the boys.
No!
So
you're driving Coach in your car?
We got a full car.
We can't do this, okay? I'm dying to do this, but we can't do this. We have too many calls to get to on the Carbless Talk and text line. 844-770-3776.
I got the open tomorrow.
Indeed. Get the dash cam and just turn it around and have it record the entire drive with the four of you on your way down to Rockford and the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Let's get to your calls again on the Carbless Talk and text line. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Juan in Madison. Juan, thanks for holding on so long, buddy. What do you got?
All right. So about the kicker issues, I'm just curious. Would you give up a fourth for Cam Little? You know, I mean, he's got that good leg. Also, with Matt LaFleur, I mean, we're 7 years in and still, you know, having the is he the guy kind of questions. And, Jason, last week you said, I think you're talking about your daughter and, like, telling her don't make the same mistakes. And we're still making the same mistakes about, you know, not being prepared. This is the type of game where you got to be prepared, you know, and if you lose – it's clear that, you know, the guys weren't prepared. And, I mean, especially being at home, these are the type of teams that you got to beat. I get that they're not a horrible team, but this is definitely a game that you should have won, you know, especially at home. That's just what I got.
Appreciate the call, Juan. You know what I'm getting a lot of in the YouTube comments and in tweets, et cetera? Matt LaFleur had all of his success because of Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of people that are questioning how good of a coach he is. I disagree. I think the Packers needed a reboot offensively, and I tell that story all the time about after that Thursday night game where all those guys were in the locker room talking about what they saw from the Rams offense on Thursday night football against the Vikings. And wouldn't it be fun if we ran that offense? They do. My question is, are they successfully scheming guys open with all this two safeties back coverage that's keeping everything in front of them? I'm curious to know if they're doing
Jason,
that sufficiently.
I'm not going to say who just texted me this, but what do you think the Packers' record is the last three plus seasons, under Matt LaFleur?
Let's see, 9-8, plus 11-6, plus 5-2-1. So I'm not doing the math now. Tell me what it
34-27-1 is where we're at.
That sounds kind of mid.
It's pretty. That's what I'm saying. So I think we get caught up with the greatest coach in the history of football through the first 3 years, the record.
Yeah,
that's true too. He had the greatest, and that's nothing to slouch at. That gives you the credibility of what you're doing. Now the question is he going to elevate that and take you to the next level? I mean, Sean McDermott has lasted a long time in Buffalo. Been there a long time.
Yes.
I'm guessing Buffalo fans are happy today because they beat Kansas City, but I'm sure they have the same conversations without – they have an MVP quarterback. We have a good, young, ascending, inconsistent quarterback here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for as much as I am a Matt LaFleur guy, I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach, he's not above being criticized. I don't have a problem with people asking all these questions. It doesn't mean I have to agree with them about it, but Ed Policy's going to have a tough decision to make here. He is either going to have to commit to another 5 years of Matt LaFleur after this season, or he's going to have to let this thing play out and have a coach be a free agent. And if that happens, I would say if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'd say, no, you don't want to extend me?
Yeah.
Deuces.
Matt,
if Ed Policy had a deadline the same as the trade deadline, Ed Policy, you have to, by November 4th, tomorrow at 4 p.m., you have to commit to Matt LaFleur for the next 4 years, or you have to say this is it. What is he doing today? Or by tomorrow at 4.
He is not signing him to an extension. Is he signing Goody to an extension?
Yes. Goody's getting extended.
Adam Schefter confirming per sources what we all expected, feared, knew, and that is Tucker Kraft's ACL is indeed torn, so his season is over. We need to get some more of your calls coming up. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Tausch needs to tell us about Coors Light first, though.
Indeed I do. And whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, heading down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford, and you're going to throw a little dice with the old ball coach, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it is made to chill. I do wonder, will Jesse put a little, obviously Jesse as driving won't be able to. Does he put a little baby cooler in the back? Let the boys have a couple cold ones? I don't know. It's up to Jesse. It's only 102 calories. Make sure it is Coors Light in your hand. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Cup. Be a golden Colorado.
Are they all sitting in the back together, the three of them in the back row, and you're in the front by yourself?
I don't know what that layout's going to be. He's got a new car from when I rode down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
And it's got a ding in the back from getting rear-ended.
Yeah, a little more leg room. A little more leg room.
All right, we need to get. We still have one segment left in the 10 o'clock hour, which is hard to believe given we took that break at 9:28.
Who's
going to
say
the first hour?
Oh boy,
it's got to be Barry. It's got to be Barry. More of your calls
I don't
next.
Know. If you have somebody, if you have somebody that'll move that front seat up. I'm telling you, with someone wants to stretch their legs, it's usually a little bit better in the back. It is. But if you got Angler sitting up there, he's going to want to have the seat way back. Tark will do whatever coach says. Tark will shove his knees through the windshield so that Barry can put his legs back. So that my guess, Tark squinches up against the windshield.
Squinches.
Barry has all kinds of room to kick his legs back, and then Jesse is forced to shove his thing way up so that Angler can kind of stretch his legs out in the back, too. That's how I envision the layout of Jesse tonight.
Go boo in a bar.
More calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's get to more of your calls on the Carbless Talk and Text line. We have 7 in the queue, so I can promise you, Terrell, you're 7th in the pecking order. We will get to you before the end of the show if you're willing to stay on hold. Let's start in the town that Jesse Nelson made famous, in Muskego, with
they
Chris.
They still in it?
Oh,
they still in it, Jell?
Yeah. Easy okay. Through the first two rounds. Now the playoffs start for the Muskego Warriors.
Listen to you. Gotcha. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Oh, so I had to wake up after an hour and a half of waiting. But is Matt LaFleur, do I have faith in him? No.
Yeah.
Is he got a great record? Yeah. Does he make a lot of bonehead decisions when it comes crunch time? Oh, yeah. Jenkins at center, is this a failure? Yes. Most of the pressure comes up the middle. If you watched all the games this season, almost all the pressure on Love comes up the middle. And yesterday was one of the worst days I've ever seen him play. Matt LaFleur, he loves that little screen pass to the wide receivers where, okay, maybe a receiver doesn't block a guy and he gets sucked up. But Carolina, by the time the second quarter come, he already ran that play 3 times. And Carolina, they scouted that. They had that play down. Same with throwing the little short screen passes to the running backs. Last week, he makes an adjustment coming into the second half of the Pittsburgh Steelers game. Love looks fantastic. He hits 10 different receivers. I'm so, so heartbroken about Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft has a great game last week, but yet Jordan Love was still able to hit a bunch of receivers. Watson, four receptions. Tucker Kraft had 10. And a bunch of other guys. So they had over 10 receivers hit. What happened yesterday? It's like LaFleur doesn't know how to make any type of adjustments at times. He just gets his brain stuck on certain plays and doesn't call the offense to what's happening. It's just like the Tampa Bay game down at the goal line. 3 times to Devontae Adams when he had Tanyan and other guys in his play route, but he calls the play for DA. I don't like his play calling. And now, for the last 3 years, we're in the top 10, the top 15 penalized teams in the league. That's discipline. That's not getting these guys and holding them accountable for making boneheaded plays. That's on the coach. And I love Gutekunst for all he's done, good he's done. But is he as good as his predecessor in picking offensive linemen? You got a first round and a second round guy that Morgan's a fill in, and the other guy you don't even see. They got a left guard that can't stay healthy. Why aren't these two guys starting all the time and using their big bodies and going? It's like, what's going on? I don't care if we're 5-2-1 in first place. So if they keep playing the way they're playing, they ain't even going to make the playoffs.
Chris, we appreciate the call. I think your frustration is palpable.
And the long wait. in the long
way. Yes, and thanks for waking up once we went to you. At least we didn't go to commercial instead. So we got that going for us.
That is a plus.
Which is nice. All right, we got a bunch more calls to get to. One thing that he said, Tausch, that I want to ask you about quickly for your insight, because we were trying to get everybody in. If teams are going to do what Carolina did yesterday, which was different than what the Steelers did, the Steelers said, we're not going to let Josh Jacobs beat us, right? Linchpin was the word that Mike Tomlin used to describe Josh Jacobs. So they were not going to let Josh Jacobs beat him. And congratulations, that worked. He did not beat them on Sunday night a week ago. Instead, Jordan Love and Tucker Kraft did. If teams are going to do this, what do you have to do to be effective offensively? With the two safeties back, keep everything in. Joe Barry would have loved the defense yesterday because it worked. But the screens and the checkdowns and all that stuff that Chris is talking about, that is how you have to get down the field. And they had the only play, the only drive they had that was not nine plays or longer was the one where Love threw the pick on a first down play. So what does their game plan have to be in order to beat that type of defense?
You got to be patient. You got to run the football. And you have to clean up the penalties, because what defenses that do what Carolina did yesterday, they think that they can get a lost yardage play in one of those cycles to force you into a third and long, and that's where they can get off the field. And you have to clean up the penalties. The fact that, I mean, there was so many holding calls yesterday. I don't know, at least three or four, at least. And that's what these defenses are designed to do. We're not going to give you the big play, and if you're not patient enough, we'll have an interception sitting in our hands on a fair catch, which is what happened. Yeah. So if I am Philly and I'm Fangio, I'm going to say, do you have patience enough to give Josh Jacobs the ball 25 times? And if you do, can you block Jalen Carter and the other big dude from Georgia and Zach Bond and everybody else consistently enough that you're getting 4 and 5 yards of carry? Because I don't think you can. And if you can't, you're not gonna get big plays. And you heard Jordan Love yesterday talk before the game with Pam Oliver talking about explosives. And so you knew that that was their plan. They wanted to have explosives because offensively, it's really hard to go put together 12, 13-yard drives in this league consistently. That's what I'm guessing teams. If I'm playing Green Bay, I'm going to tell you, hey, man, you stick to that run and you don't have any penalties and you're getting 5, 6, good luck. You're going to have some success. That wasn't the case yesterday.
If you were on our social channels, you saw our three things to watch. I'm not sure how accurately I portrayed the keys to the game when I delivered those three things to watch, but they are presented by Associated Bank, a great partner of Wildy and Tausch from the very beginning. And if you haven't made the switch and you're unhappy with your bank, what are you waiting for? Go to AssociatedBank.com. Find out about their best customer service in the industry. Find out about early pay, about credit monitoring, about fraud protection, about Packers, Badgers, and Brewers checking. Find out about the bank that you belong at. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts with more of your calls next, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.